Good morning. Well, do you ever remember the time when we used to come to church on a Sunday morning? And if you've ever had kids, you might remember the stress and the tension that it got to get the kids into church. From my own experience, when my kids were small, I had one kid pulling a toy apart and asking, "Hey, Dad, where's that screwdriver with the cross on the end of it?" Or another kid who was bouncing off the walls and trying to practice doing handstands, all this while we're trying to get ready for church. Another kid is bouncing a ball off the kitchen wall and everyone's telling him to be quiet and to get ready. And another one was trying to fit Barbie clothes onto another doll, and she was getting just so frustrated it wouldn't fit. She just didn't realize that no one can fit into Barbie clothes. So it's a very sad thing. It's a common thing to get all this tension and energy and all into the car and get them to church, and you're pulling your hair out and you're so frustrated and tense. And as soon as you walk in the door of church, you say, oh, someone asks you, "How are you going?" And you say, "Oh, I'm having a blessed day, brother. Thank you for asking." And all that frustration and tension has to be covered up and messed up. It's common in families that we need to learn to get along with each other. There's different personalities, there's different styles, there's different habits and different desires. And it's about coming to realize that it's not all about the individual. There's a bigger picture in mind. And this is the stage that Paul was at with the Corinthian church. You could almost hear in Annette's voice or in Paul's mind, Paul said, "Hey, just stop what you're doing, listen, and grow up." This is just his internal mind just yelling. Paul had invested a year and a half into the lives of these people. And so thank you. I've got the power now. I thought it was my battery. Right. Paul had invested 1.5 years into the Corinthian church, laying a foundation. And the fact was, the church is a family, and the goal of that family is maturity. If a parent has a child who stays at the same level and eats the same things, doesn't progress to eating heavier things or being responsible for their actions or planning ahead or thinking of others or the stay at the same education level, there are problems and they need to learn to grow and develop. And the goal of every parent is to equip their child so that they can live by themselves in independence and create their own family unit. The marks of maturity when we're looking at kids growing up is, what are you eating? And Paul saying, you guys in Corinth, you're still having milk. You're still on formula food. You haven't gone on to the meat and potatoes, the truths of who God is and what he desires you to do. You're still playing around with accepting all the forgiveness that God can give you. Another mark of maturity is what you do. And these guys were squabbling and being jealous and just picking on each other. Another mark is what you say. My team is better than your team. Or you're not invited to my birthday party because you don't agree with me. These are all things that I've heard as a pastoral carer in a primary school. And this is what Paul's pointing out to the church in Corinth, hey, you are just mere infants. You are just acting like children. Their reaction shows, their reactions and their responses is showing what is going on the inside. Now, the New Testament says there's an expectation for growth. There's an expectation for maturity. In Colossians chapter 1, in Paul's letter to Colossae, he says this, "He is the one we proclaim so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." In Ephesians 4, it says, "Equipping people so the body of Christ may be built up and become mature, attaining the fullness of Christ." There's an expectation there that they need to grow in their maturity and their levels. Peter, in his second letter, says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." It's all through the New Testament that there is an expectation that the church is a family and they are to mature and grow and develop in their love and understanding of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. But the Corinthian church, all their responses were basic human nature. They weren't spiritually led. They weren't the Holy Spirit wasn't in control of their lives. Remember last week, Rob shared about the Spirit-led life, and he compared the worldly way of thinking and living, the Jewish religion and the Greek, the wisdom of the Greeks, versus God's Spirit and how God's Spirit's work. Well, Bill Bright put a few images together to describe the Christian walk. And this image up here shows that the self is in the director's chair, or the throne, if you like. And the cross being outside of the circle, this is a pre-Christian, someone who's independent of God. And then they see the need of a savior. They see the need that they need the Lord Jesus Christ involved in their lives. And so they accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus, the cross, comes into their life. And it doesn't just stay there. If God stays just in the periphery of our lives, we are becoming a person who is a worldly Christian. We're still directed by world events and world thoughts, but we're affected by aimlessness, no direction, disobedience, fear. We want to be in control, and we don't feel as though we can give God the control. Some of the saddest people in the world are the people in this category. They're not non-Christians who are doing their own thing and living life their own way, under their own strategy, but they are not Christians who are fully allowing God to work in their lives. They are dominated by worldly thinking, and they resist being obedient to Christ. There's no growth, there's no maturity. They're stuck in kindergarten, just like the guy in the video. God wants so much more for us. In John 10, verse 10, it said, God wants us to live life to the full, and he wants to give that to us. Paul's goal is to have a Christ-directed life, to put Christ in the director's chair of our lives, to move and shape us the way he would want us to. And as we grow as Christians, it's a slowly coming off that director's chair and putting Christ in that seat. Now, this is a progressive thing. It doesn't happen overnight. Galatians 2 says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. To live a life in response to God's love. It's a lifetime of learning. To experience that fruits of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience. These are all marks of maturity. Now, how would you describe your Christian walk, your Christian life? Are you growing or are you frustrated? Are you disappointed? Are you fulfilled? Are you forgiven or are you struggling with doubt or struggling with sin? Are you joyful or are you defeated? Are you intimate or with God, or you just have a mediocre relationship with God? Well, there's five principles that Campus Crusade for Christ has put down. Bill Bright, a really helpful app for you to look at if you want to develop your maturity in Christ, is an app called God Tools by Crew, C-R-U. If you look up that and put that on your phone, there's some great information in there of how you can live your life and grow in your knowledge and understanding of God. Basically, there's five principles to study God's word and see what his message is for you, to pray and ask for his involvement and to change your mindset, your thought processes into line with being Spirit-led. There's fellowship. There's nothing like mixing it up with other Christians, sharing your experiences, learning from them, and, you know, other people rub the rough edges off our character and help us to be more Christ-like. Witnessing, telling others about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and being obedient. When God says he wants you to do something, then go out and play a part and do that. So the church isn't only a family with the goal of maturity. The church is a field, and the goal is fruitfulness. Now, Paul moves to this agricultural setting, and it's saying that we need to not only grow, but we need to be fruitful. We need to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is primarily to worship God, nurture believers, and then there's evangelism and mercy, being evangelistic, sharing your story with others, and being merciful to others. This is a goal or a purpose of the church. We are to tell our stories, just like Matthew 28, make disciples, witness to others, share what God is doing in our lives. Showing mercy to Christians, and not only just to Christians, but to our enemies as well. And this is following the Lord Jesus Christ's example. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Brad and Annette had a squabble about who's more important, hands and feet or KPCC, in the distribution of food to our community. Just like the Corinthians, what is Apollo? What is Paul? Apollos? What is Paul? They're only servants. They're co-workers in God's service. And God's service is so much more effective when we work together with one purpose, showing mercy, God's mercy, to the people around about us. Now, notice that hands and feet don't have a questionnaire before they hand out food. They don't question people and say, oh, are you a nice person? Are you worthy of this food pack that I'm about to give you? Or how much do you have in the bank? How much can you give in return? Or do you like the people that I like? They don't have questionnaires, and KPCC doesn't have questionnaires like that when people come in and need help. It's like the sower, the parable of the sower. The sower spreads God's word all over the place, indiscriminately, on the path, on the soil, everywhere, in amongst the weeds, everywhere the seeds are sown. And it's not our job to handpick who we sow our seeds to. It's God who can use what's been said, what's been done, what's been given away, the mercy that has happened. God can use it in ways that honor him. So Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to say, you're like God's field. You are not operating independently of God. And the mark of being God's field is fruitfulness. Paul then turns to a structural picture. The church is a building. And the goal of building is using quality materials. The Romans were known for their engineering brilliance. They built things with quality. Even their roads had solid foundations, and a lot of thought had been put into building roads that were functional, usable, and they had great drainage, and they were about 8 meters wide to 12 meters wide. And they say the Roman roads in the heyday of the Roman Empire spanned about 400,000 kilometers. There were major highways, and then there were major offshoots and roads, and roads that were used for distributing agriculture and moving armies from one place to the next. And these roads were built with a solid foundation. And Paul has built his solid foundation. He was a master architect, a master engineer, a master builder, and he laid the solid foundation built on the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of forgiveness, the fact that we can be made right with God, that we can be friends with God and enjoy that forgiveness and the joy of relationship with God. The solid foundation of having God's strength to meet each and every day, not by yourself, but with God beside you. No need to struggle alone. You can share your burdens with the Lord Jesus Christ, the solid foundation. And then there's the hope that we have, knowing that God is in control and he glorifies, and we have a glorious future planned for us. Isn't that great that Paul was using this foundation with quality materials? Watchman Nee was a Chinese evangelist, and he ministered for 30 years, and 20 years he spent in jail in China. And he was a great Bible teacher. Many people, you can still find his books in Kurong today. And one of the things he said as he laid the foundation for his Bible teaching is, if you would test the character or the quality of anything, you only need to inquire whether that thing leads you towards God or away from God. Quality materials, gold, silver, and the things that will last for eternity. And the third thing the church is a building is building with right motives. Don't boast in the leaders. Don't boast in wisdom, but accept the fact that people are sharing their hearts, their lives. Paul, Apollos were sharing from an attitude with a purpose, the one purpose, to mature and grow and develop and help people to become more fruitful in their lives using quality materials. Verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" This is a beautiful thought. So many people are hurt in churches and are pushed away from being involved in churches. But church is where we need to be to interact and to develop in our Christian faith. The presence of the Holy Spirit isn't just an individual experience. It's not a personal experience. Chris Tigrin says this, "God has faces we can't see unless we see them in each other." I'll say it again. God has faces we can't see unless we see them in each other. Coming together in fellowship is an essential part of getting to know God. Now, I agree, not all of us get on personality-wise, and some people we spend lots of times with, and some people, I wouldn't spend as much time with that group of people. And so there's people that when we come together, we see God at work in their lives and we can appreciate God all the more. We see God's face in someone else's life who's totally different from ours, and we can appreciate how God works marvelously in the body of Christ. God has created us to be relational and be dependent on Him and interdependent on other people. That's why no one person has all the gifts or the gift package of every gift. The body of Christ has many parts. And fellowship with others gives us a fuller experience of God's presence. As we listen to how God works in other people's lives, we can appreciate God all the more. 2 Timothy 2:22 says this, "But keep away from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace in company with others, not by yourselves, who call on the Lord from a pure heart." Paul ended last week his thoughts on the Holy Spirit by saying, "We have the mind of Christ." That's how Rob ended his talk last week at the end of chapter 2. This week, as he talks about family and fields and buildings and the goals that we are to mature and be fruitful and use quality materials in our service, Paul ends off with, "You belong to Christ." God's church belongs to Christ. Now we're going to move off after we listen to Lion and the Lamb, the song. We're going to move off into our Zoom groups. But what I'd like you to do in your Zoom groups is to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. I'll just read the first section for this of Philippians 2, because it relates to what we've read in 1 Corinthians. And the second part, from 6 to 11, will help in your prayer and appreciation as we take the body of Christ, the bread broken on our behalf, and the juice as a symbol of Christ's blood that was poured out on our behalf. But this is the first section. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with his Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. If only the Corinthian church had grabbed hold of these words, and they weren't ready for these words yet. They were still at milk and formula stage, but they needed to progress and ask God's forgiveness for where they are and their mind's attitude, and put Christ in that director's seat and work together with a common purpose and a common goal. Let's pray, and then we'll listen to our song and then go into the Zoom groups. Heavenly Father, it just amazes me that you have chosen a rat-bag bunch of people to be called your church, to be called your family, a part of your family, to be called to be your field and be fruitful for you. You've chosen us to be fruitful and work in partnership with you. Lord, you've chosen us to be your temple, your holy building that is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that you'll help us to grow in you. Lord, reveal to each one of us the areas that we need to change and improve and hand over to you and move on in our Christian walk with you. And so we commit our lives to you and look expectantly to see how you will help us to grow and develop in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.